I skipped over 13 and went to 14. There's a reason for that. It's been something that's been on my heart since late last week, and then it sort of resurfaced again Friday. And my mother-in-law, Mindy's here. She's going to know. This is going to be a repeat for her because she got this sermon Friday morning after. Well, I'll tell you about it when we get there. But one of the things I thought of this morning too is, and by the way, I mean John 14 speaks perfectly to these things, so that's why I decided to skip over it. But you know, we're talking a lot about heaven, and you know how things pop into my head with TV and movies. I tell you that all the time. But I think with the point of this is that you know, if we make up our own rules about heaven or we ignore the plain truth, it's going to come back and bite us. There was a Twilight Zone episode, and I love this one because it starts off where there's this thief. He's a killer, and he robs banks, he shoots at police and everything else, and he finally gets confronted, and the police shoot him dead. And so he wakes up and he meets Sebastian Cabot. Remember Sebastian Cabot, Mr. French from Family Affair? So Sebastian Cabot, he's Mr. Pip. And so he walks up, and it's beautiful where he's at. He wakes up from death, and he's in this beautiful place. And here comes Sebastian Cabot out to greet him. And he says, wow, he says, this is really something. What's going on here? He says, well, you know, welcome, you know, just, you know, relax, enjoy everything. And so all of a sudden, the guy gets the finest clothes. He gets all the girls he wants, all these cars. Then he starts looking for some action. He wants to go gambling. Every time he rolls the dice, every time he pulls the lever, he's a winner. You know, there's no struggle in it at all. Just boom, 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 boom. Well, now he's starting to get a little bored. He's starting to get a little... And he says to Sebastian Cabot, he says, are you sure the boss didn't make a mistake? I'm really supposed to be here? And so they said, well, let's go look at the Hall of Records. So they go to the Hall of Records and they look. And he says, yes, you know, this, you know, he went through his list of achievements in his life, which weren't too good. And said, yeah, you're supposed to be here. He says, I just don't get it. He said, you know, is there any action around here other than the stuff? He said, the dames are nice and the money is cool. He said, but, you know, is there any banks to rob? And Sebastian Cabot says, well, of course there's banks to rob. Well, which bank would you like to rob? And so, of course, he goes out to rob the bank. Instant success. He gets away scot-free with all the money. And now he's starting to lose it. Now he's starting to get angry. Okay, because this is coming too easy. There's no challenge. There's no kick. Nothing. It's flat. It's empty. And so the character gets angry, and he looks at Mr. Pip, and he says, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't want to be here. I don't belong in heaven. I want to go to the other place. And Sebastian Cabot says, heaven? What makes you think this is heaven? This is the other place. And he does that evil laugh. And so... You know, a lot of times we have misconceptions about heaven. We have misconceptions about the character of God. And it's not a healthy thing to do. It really isn't. Because God exists and He's communicated His truth to us. And we are well to pay attention to it. But the title of the message, The Precious and Powerful Name of Jesus Christ. Folks, this has been on my heart. And ever since we did John chapter 12, where Jesus said, now my soul is troubled. I can't get over that. It's amazing to me that the Savior would even have to be in a position to have to say that, but He did. Now my soul is troubled because He knows He's going to the cross. Okay, so John 14. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Just one of the most beautiful passages, certainly my favorite in the Bible. There's a lot of them that could compete for that, but that's certainly at the top of the list. And... But it's a beautiful passage, and so much is packed into this, folks. So much is packed into this. Let not your hearts be troubled. Here's the Savior that just said, now my soul is troubled. And now He's telling all of us, let not your hearts be troubled. Yeah, the world is full of trouble. It's a veil of tears sometimes, folks. There's a lot of worry. We do have it a little cushy in this country, I'll admit, but we all have problems. You know, we all have worries. We all worry about getting that bad report from the doctor. We all worry about, you know, things that happen when we're out on the street. You can't even go to a concert in London now without worrying about somebody, you know, trying to blow the place up. There's a lot of worries. But Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Because he has things well in hand. Because his perspective, his plan is perfect. And we know what the final outcome is because we know who's guiding this whole process. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Why? Because if you believe in God, you believe in what God said. And what did God say? God said, I am sending someone to fix these problems. And Jesus is saying, that's me. So if you believe in God, believe me. Believe in me because God is the one who promised me that he promised that I would come. So if you're going to believe in God, believe in me because I am the fulfillment of his promise. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. A lot of pie in the sky theology at that time, probably now too, wish fulfillment, where people are seeking their own, like the guy in the Twilight Zone who didn't really know what heaven was all about. He had his own warped version of what it was. And so Jesus is saying, if this wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. I wouldn't tell you this. I'm not telling you this just to, you know, get through your day and, you know, help you feel better. I'm telling you this because it's the truth. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, if Jesus is going to go prepare a place, and he has to leave some place to do that, then logically it means that as he's saying here, he's talking to the disciples, he says, I'm going back to prepare a place for you. Well, when did he leave? After the resurrection, right? He left after the resurrection. He ascended back into heaven. And he says, I'm going to come back to get you and take you with me to be where I am. This is the rapture, folks. It's not as obvious as 1 Thessalonians 4 or 1 Corinthians 15 or maybe even, you know, Revelation chapter 3. But it's a rapture verse nonetheless. The language of the rapture and the second coming are different. At the rapture, Jesus comes to get us. And he takes us back to heaven. At the second coming, he comes back with us. He brings us back. And then when he comes back, we stay here for the 1,000-year reign. And then the eternal order follows. So this is a rapture verse. It is different than the second coming. And it is a beautiful, beautiful passage. And folks, we know that there are no such things as coincidence when it comes to God's word. God says what he means what he says. And he uses the marriage, or the idiom of marriage, throughout his scripture. What are we called? The church. Bride. The bride. What's Jesus called? The bridegroom. When you study the Jewish wedding system, folks, we've been over this before. It's a great study. Every single detail of that Jewish wedding system is amplified in scripture when it comes to the bridegroom, who is Jesus Christ. What does he do? In the Jewish wedding system, the bridegroom goes to prepare a place for his bride, and it's done with the cooperation of his father who sets it up. And there's a lot of other details I don't have time to get into. But then at the time, the bridegroom comes and he fetches the bride and takes her back to be with him in the place that he's prepared. Does that sound familiar, what we just read? Okay? And there is the wedding. And we talk about the marriage of the Lamb, that takes place in heaven. But like in the Jewish wedding system, after that, it's a small gathering. But then, there's the big party. That's going to happen here, after the tribulation, just before the millennium starts. That's going to be the big feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Beautiful, beautiful imagery, but nonetheless true. Nonetheless true. So just wonderful promises in this passage given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen is right. Folks, that is a very, very pointed, clear statement, and there are others like it in the Bible. That statement cannot be just a little bit true. It's either true or it's false. It can't be both. Cannot be both. If what this says is true, then we can count on it. We can revel in it. We can love it. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Folks, we've talked about God's existence. We've talked about His communication. We've talked about the fact that He not only exists, that He not only communicates, but that He authenticates His communication to us, right? He authenticates the very message He communicates so that we know what we have is really from Him. And the Bible is lavished with His divine fingerprints. So we know this book is from Him. So I believe this 100%. This is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ saying, there's no other way to heaven but through me. Okay, now, back up to Friday. Listening to, you know, talk radio and, well, let me set the stage. There was, at Wheaton College, there was a teacher who tried to inculcate an Islamic teaching. I don't remember all the details of that, but she was trying to bring in some sort of, you know, ecumenical, you know, Muslim type of teaching into her curriculum. And the people at Wheaton College said, you can't do that. Why not? Well, you can't do it because we're a Christian university. Our statement of faith, what you signed, by the way, talks about the centrality of Jesus Christ. So don't do this. She says, okay, and she does it anyway. So they fired her. There was a man who wrote an op-ed piece in support of this teacher. And now he's nominated for some deputy position post. I don't even remember what it is. So now he's up before the Senate to see if he can get approved. And he's getting grilled by Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is grilling him. I don't like what you said here. You said that all people who are not in Christ are condemned. All Muslims are condemned. And listen, Bernie Sanders is who he is, folks. I'm not disappointed with him. I'm disappointed with the guy answering the questions. I'm disappointed that he didn't take the opportunity to set the record straight and say it right. Why not turn the tables once in a while on these guys? Why not turn around and ask them, well, Bernie, what do you believe? You don't believe anybody's going to heaven because you don't believe. You're an atheist. So at least in my view, somebody gets saved, somebody goes to heaven. In your view, nobody does. Or you know, if you do believe, what do you believe? And if you believe your way is correct, then why would you believe any other way? That's absurd. It's insane. But folks, this is the world that we are in right now. And my father-in-law is here. He's a pilot. Flew for American Airlines for years, DC-10s. He was there. You think that anybody would come into that cockpit and say, hey, Gordon, let's just push any old lever and pull any old yoke and do this or do that. The plane will fly just the same. We can get from here to there any old way. It doesn't matter how we do it. How many people would actually do that? No, because there's one right way to fly that plane, and you want to get from here to wherever you're going in one piece, and you want that pilot to do it the right way. You want that truth to be exclusive of how that plane flies. You're not just going to sit back and say, hey, any old way is fine. But see, this is where it breaks down when it comes to matters of God and matters of faith and matters of religion, is that all that logic goes out the window, and then we just say, hey, whatever. Whatever we believe is fine. And folks, I reject that because to me it's an insult. It's a slap in the face to the Lord when we go down this road. So Bernie Sanders keeps grilling him. And the guy says, hey, look, I wrote an article because Wheaton College is a Christian college. And as a Christian myself, we talk about the centrality of Jesus Christ. And on it goes, and Bernie Sanders kept interrupting him. So what are you saying? All Muslims are condemned. All Jews are condemned. Is that what you're saying? You know, so he's going through this whole thing. Just, you know, and the guy, he allowed Bernie Sanders to get, he allowed Bernie Sanders to back him into a corner. He allowed him, he made the cardinal mistake of doing this, of allowing Bernie Sanders to put the question to him, do you say that non-Christians are going to hell? You, do you say that? And he let it go. He allowed himself to get strung up by this guy. Instead of saying, look, Senator, I believe that God exists, and I believe that He communicated, and I believe every word of this Bible, and I believe this Bible is from Him. And that Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. So yes, if people have rejected the truth of Jesus Christ, and they reject Him, then yes, they stand condemned. Is this my rule? No. Is it my idea? No. It is God's idea, and this is why I repeated it. Because I believe that God said it. Not me, not you, not anybody else, but God Himself. Now, Bernie, how do you respond to this? But see, we don't do that, folks. People take it only so far, and then they just, you know, they don't even rope-a-dope. They're just defeated. They're done. Like Sugar Ray Robinson and... You know, when he was fighting Jake LaMotta, and LaMotta couldn't get his arms up anymore, he just stood there and let Sugar Ray just beat him to a pulp. Because we're not prepared. Take this stuff out of your hands and put it back in God's hands where it belongs. I was so frustrated. Because, I mean, again, you know, guys like Bernie Sanders, they're going to ask those questions, they're going to act the way they do, because that's just what they do, that's just who they are. We pray for him, obviously, and things like that. But this guy was a Christian. And instead of taking it and putting it in God's hands, he allowed somebody else to internalize it. And then he couldn't answer it. Because then, if he answers it truthfully, yeah, all Muslims are condemned if they don't believe in Jesus Christ. What are you saying? You know? You turn around, you relieve a lot of pressure, you solve a lot of problems, and you do the right thing by putting it in the Lord's hands. To start with, that's the best thing to do. Folks, the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, it's an exclusive truth, right? Truth by definition is exclusive, is it not? We've talked about this before. George Washington is the first president of the United States. That's an exclusive truth. That means that nobody else could be the first president of the United States because George Washington is the first, or was the first president of the United States. It's an exclusive truth. All truths are. But here's the thing, and this is what I want you to remember. Because this truth is exclusive, and what everything we read in Scripture about how God reaches out to everybody in the world, this is what John 3:16 is all about. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. What we know about that invitation, and we know about this exclusive truth, you know what? Because this truth is so exclusive, it makes the reality of the inclusive invitation fully realized. That's what I find so beautiful about all this. Because that truth of Jesus Christ is so exclusive, the inclusivity of its message can be fully realized. Because if this statement is false, you know, in other words, it's not true just because I believe it. It's not false just because somebody else doesn't believe it. It's true or it isn't. But when it's true, and it is true, that means, folks, that God is playing fair, which we know that anyway. That means He has offered one way to Himself, not 50 ways that are all in contradiction to each other, and says, hey, this will be fun watching them see who guesses right, you know? No, that's not who God is. God says, I love you all. Here's my Son. I've offered Him to you to forgive all of you of your sins. Will you receive Him or will you reject Him? That is the central issue. But because that truth, because God is true, because Jesus is true, because this message is true, the content of the message can be fully realized. If you just say, hey, whatever, then it can't be true. Then nobody can be saved. Nobody can be saved in any religion, assuming that their religion was true. All right? You put it in God's hands, it's going to fix a lot of problems, I guarantee you. You put it in God's hands where it belongs. Not with me. Not with you. Not with the church. Not with the statement of faith on our website. Anybody else. You put it with God. And then see what happens. And let God take it from there. Okay. We'll try to get through all of John 14 if we can, but I might not be able to. Because this comes to the next thing that's been weighing on me. Driving down the street the other day, and I'm not going to name the church. I just don't want to do that. Am I being divisive? Am I being wrong? I don't know. You tell me. Driving down the street the other day, I see a sign on a church. It says, Ramadan Mubarak to all our Muslim friends. Ramadan Mubarak to all our Muslim friends. That means have a blessed Ramadan. Well, when you think of blessings, you think of God, and God blesses. So here, bless what you're doing. First of all, folks, can we be friends with Muslims? I sure hope so. I sure hope so. We should be courteous with one another. We should be loving toward one another. We should be cordial. If there was a Muslim person who was in distress, I would help them. I would do anything for them. Okay. Just think about all the different examples that you could think of with something like that. I don't agree with their theology at all, but I defend their right to practice it. Okay, we're in the United States of America, free to practice your religious faith. No problem there. No problem there. But as a church, do we wish Godspeed to someone who is practicing a faith that is 180 degrees out of phase with what we believe? And this is the key thing about this, folks. This is what I really want to get into. This goes to the title of the message today. What we believe about Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. It's not just a belief. It's our life. It is our life. Jesus Christ is our life. It's not just a belief. He's not just an icon of the religion. He's not just, oh, he's our guy. He is our life, folks. Because of him, we have our lives take on great significance while we're here. Wendell talked about last week his mom. She's 99 years old. Louise Hood's going on 94 and still trucking. You know, yeah, that's a long life. But still, it's a blip compared to eternity. But yet, because of who Jesus is, because of what he did, our lives take on significance here as we serve him. That's no small thing. We're serving the Lord. That's important. We have that ability because of who Jesus is. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Folks, you know, any tough time that we've had, we can get through it because we know the truth of what God has spoken in his word. That is no small thing. So while we have Jesus in this life, we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear uncertainty. We don't have to fear any of that because we've got the Lord. So it's no small thing, our belief. It's not just a belief. Jesus is our life. And not only in this life, folks, but the life to come. Perfect joy, peace, love, and fellowship because of what the Savior did. And not only that, so when we think about our lives here and the life to come, Jesus is more than a belief. But then we think about this. The perfect Savior who stepped out of eternity. When he didn't have to. We believe that Jesus is God. That he stepped out of eternity, that he goes to that cruel cross, that he says, and now my soul is troubled. That before the crucifixion, he sweats drops of blood. The Savior, Jesus says, Lord, take this cup from me. Is there another way? No, there's not. So when we think about who Christ is, he's not just a guy. He's not just any old God. Folks, he is our life. Our life is Jesus Christ. And when we think about what he did for us and what that means for us, I cannot wish Godspeed to someone who demotes our Savior. I can't do it. I can't say, because let's face it, Islam, Jesus did not come out of the tomb on the third day. He wouldn't go to the cross to pay for our sins and pay for, to ransom us, as it were. And he certainly isn't God. What did Paul say? Paul said, if anybody comes to you and preaches a different Jesus, don't listen to him. The Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Mormons is not the Jesus of the Bible, and the Jesus of Islam is not the Jesus of the Bible. And not only that, but if this statement is true, and of course I believe wholeheartedly that it is, when you wish as a church somebody to have a blessed Ramadan, and part of what they do, there's a lot of good things in it. You know, there's self-sacrifice and there's helping the poor and charity and everything. That's all good stuff, right? No problem. But part of it is to get in good with Allah. I mean, to make it better, to make your salvation more easy. We don't teach that, right? We don't believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that, that it's not works. It's Jesus Christ alone. His death and resurrection. That's what saves us, the blood of Christ, not our own efforts, okay? I remember Pastor Ron when he had that encounter with the Jehovah's Witness and the guy really got mad. Pastor Ron says, I can't wish you Godspeed in what you're doing because you're preaching a false gospel. You know, sometimes that's not easy to do because you don't want to be confrontational and so forth. But he did it just the same. And we don't need to be nasty. We don't need to be discourteous. We don't need to be unloving. We need to be loving, folks. We need to be extra loving, extra patient, extra prayerful. Therefore, for the grace of God, go all of us, you know? I mean, God didn't have to save us. He doesn't care if you're a Muslim or a Hindu or, you know, an Irish Catholic or a Jew. Jesus is the only way, so he's made Jesus available to everybody. You remember those guys several years ago, the four Muslim men who were former Muslims, they came in here and gave their testimony about how they came to Christ. It was absolutely beautiful. You know, God reaches everybody. It's the rejection of Christ. It's not an oversight. It's not, hey, I wasn't in class that day when you were talking about Jesus. Sorry, I missed the memo on that. Are you really going to hold me accountable, God? No. It's a willful rejection. So, but here's the crux of the matter, if you will. I often think, if this is what you really believe about Jesus, you know, how can you so kind of glibly wish someone Godspeed to something that has that denigrates who your Savior is and leads them away from the truth, assuming that it is the truth? And I'm just talking about this in, you know, parentheticals now and hypotheticals in just for the sake of argument. But then you get down to the dirty little secret. What do they really believe about Jesus? I looked at this church. I looked at their statement of faith. Their statement of faith was one of those deals where it's not so much what they said, it's what they didn't say. But as I dug into it further, then it really got disturbing. And then I realized, you know, this is where our real problem is. This is where our problem always is. Corruption from within. Corruption from within. Our country would be so strong if we didn't have corruption from within. The church would be better if we didn't have corruption from within. When I search further, it's almost sickening. Reading about homosexuality. Now, forget about for a minute whether we the Bible says it's right or wrong. I mean, the Bible does say it's wrong, okay? It just does. Old and New Testament. But in a nutshell, their conclusion was that homosexuality was perfectly fine. Why? Well, because it's a different time now. Jesus didn't really say anything about it, which I disagree, because he did. Because he said, God, that's why God created them, man and woman, and man shall leave his mother and father and, cleave to his wife. So Jesus did say that, but just forget about that for a second. So it's a different time. Jesus didn't really say anything about it. Paul did, but Jesus supersedes Paul. Therefore, we don't have to listen to Paul. Folks, it's unbelievable. I mean, this is unbelievable. When you read the statement of faith and they talk about the scriptures and then say, oh, I know this, we believe what the scriptures say, but when it comes right down to it, we don't believe what they say. We're going to pick and choose what we want to do because we know better than God. God can't control his word after all. God didn't think ahead to think about what would happen with the culture and the popularity of certain things and the stresses of life in our day today. He didn't know all that. He didn't anticipate that. So we need to fill in the gaps where God failed. Folks, this is absurd. It is insane. It is illogical. We trust God. We trust his communication. We trust this book. And because we do that, folks, and this is what this guy needed to tell Bernie Sanders the other day, that we are morally, logically, evidentially, and truthfully bound to adhere to what this says. We can be loving and prayerful and courteous and tolerant of other faiths, of course. But once again, the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Jesus isn't just an afterthought. It's like I said, when you think about everything he is, everything he has done, that he's not just a belief, he is our life. He's our life. And he has communicated a word, and I think it is shameful. And believe me, folks, I'm guilty of enough of my own sins. Thank the Lord that he paid for them and that I'm saved. But I think it's shameful that as a matter of policy, you look at the scriptures, you say you believe, and then you chop out part of it and say, that doesn't count. You hear people talking about right now, I've got to believe Muslims look at people that they're hearing on the radio going, that's talking to my mother-in-law about this too. We have a lot of nice conversations, her and I, in the morning as I'm doing my work. But, I think there needs to be a reformation of Islam. What? How would you feel if somebody says, Christianity needs to be reformed? We need to change within. We need to get up to the times, more modern times and all that. Boy, I tell you what, people don't get it. They don't get it because they're getting poisoned by the nonsense and the complete logical bankruptcy that is going on in our culture, in our country, and in our world. And you know why that happens, folks? It doesn't happen because we're not eating the right foods. It doesn't happen because we're eating McDonald's too much, or we're eating too much processed food, or that our brains are smaller. No, it has nothing to do with that. It is the absence of God in our society. That is what causes the problem. And so, I appreciate you hearing me out on that. If you think I'm wrong about this, we can talk about it. I'm not... Listen, part of what you do when you get up here is, you're teaching the Bible and you teach it, you pray and, But folks, I look at it this way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does that mean? What does that mean? He is the way. The way to what? The way to salvation. So he is the way that leads to the truth, which is him. Through that way, through that truth, it leads to salvation. It leads to life. He's the way and the truth and the life. Goes through Jesus, the truth that leads to life. That's no small thing. So I want you to remember that. Remember the character of God. Remember his holiness, his divine being, his lovingness, his communication, his authentication of that communication. And remember this too, that yes, The truth of Jesus Christ is exclusive. Him being the only way to heaven, it is totally exclusive. But because it is exclusive, it allows the content of the message, which is totally inclusive, to be fully realized for every person. Whosoever believes in Jesus Christ will not perish but have everlasting life. This is who we serve. This is who we worship. You follow me? Jesus Christ, again, and this is the other thing I want you to remember, He's not just a belief. What we believe about Jesus isn't just some quaint belief. It is our life. Now and to come. And so we should be loving, we should be tolerant, gracious, cordial, and everything else. But folks, I'm not going to wish Godspeed to someone who has denigrated my Savior. Not that they've done it on purpose, not that they've done it with malice or anything like that. I'm not saying that. We wouldn't want anybody saying that about a family member of ours, right? Whoever loves their dad, let's say. Their dad was a great guy. I've used this example before. Dad was a great guy. Who's your favorite guy? My dad. Oh, he was great. I loved him. He did so much for us. Then somebody else comes along and says, well, I knew your dad. He's all right. You know, he wasn't that great. Would you just blindly go along and say, hey, cool, whatever? No. You'd stand up for your dad. You'd say, I don't know where you're getting your information from. I mean, a loving debate would be wonderful. If that's possible to have, a loving debate would be absolutely great. Let's talk about it. You want to talk about the evidence? You want to talk about, you know, logical, you know, follow-through and everything else? Fine, let's do that. But just on the basis of our everyday practice, folks, our Savior is more than precious, more than special. He is everything. And that's what the Bible teaches, and that's what we need to adhere to. Now, so I'll stop there. The song we're going to play, this is that song. I think I've mentioned